knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
This might come off petty and maybe
petty?
Insulting to you. But it is a bright spot.
Your bright spot is somehow both petty and insulting to me.
You can take that, or you can take a bright spot that doesn't sound like a bright spot,
okay,
but could get us to a brighter place.
Okay.
Which would
right.
you like? Actually, we'll get both. Which one do you want first?
I don't know. Is your bright spot like a workplace evaluation? Is that...
Gotta
it's
say.
Not good. Not gonna go.
No, the petty and possibly insulting one is I've been doing all these buttons. Like, I'm sending buttons out to people, and, you know, I'm going through the emails to get people's addresses.
Sure.
And stuff. And I'm not going to say exactly how many I've gone through, but I will say it's in the low four digits.
Yes.
And I got one the other day that was addressed to you. Literally all the other ones have been around. Almost all of them are like, Dan, I know you're the one monitoring. There was one, only one,
yes,
out of all of
yes.
them that was addressed to Jordan and then said something like, say hi to Dan.
Or that is so nice of them. Whoever
was.
That is gets... I don't know. I'm going to send you something special. That's what's going to happen.
I thought that was really amusing.
That's very funny.
You got... I mean, it's something to start from.
I think so.
You know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step and one email.
We'll start sending out competitive buttons. I think that's the way it's going to go.
Good luck. So the other bright spot that
yes,
is maybe not a bright spot but could lead us to a better place is I have a message to Kit Kat.
Okay.
And that is shut it down.
The company.
Yes.
Kit Kat the company. Like
shut
even
it down.
The original Kit Kat bar,
you
like just
stop
get
it.
Rid of it.
No, for regular ones fine.
Uh-huh.
You gotta stop it with these flavors.
What'd you try?
The fruity cereal one. There's a fruity
oh,
cereal
no.
one.
Oh no.
And a key lime pie. Shut it down.
Oh,
it's not
on.
Good. Tastes like shit.
It is funny how it seems like what happened with most of these candy companies or like McDonald's or something, you see what they do in Japan or something, and you're like, that what is a rice ball flavored Kit Kat? What are you talking about? That was 10 years ago, and we're all like, we should try all these flavors, and now they're here, and we're like, stop it! Shut it down!
Well, maybe there is a way to do it well, and maybe in Japan it's being done well, and maybe that is the case. It's not being done well here.
Ah.
And... we'll be in a better place if you just stop it.
Just stop it, Kit Kat.
Stop it, Kit Kat.
Well, I'm calling you out.
This is somebody who loves novelty saying that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
How about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is the challenge has returned. MTV's challenged by one reality TV show that I...
As somebody who's spent hours watching Survivor, season upon season, I must shake my head at you.
Yes, I don't know why those stupid idiots, I just love them so much. The only problem this year is, for the past few years... I have been tracking my new favorite character. You know, you remember young CT?
Of course.
Just crazy.
The Bean Town Prince.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eyes bloodshot, always ready.
Captain
right.
Nuthugger.
For a few years, he's been fat CT.
Right.
And it's been fantastic.
Mm.
And apparently something happened. My partner insists that he just got divorced because he is back to being ripped.
Right.
Like, really ripped again.
Is he also back to being a violently abusive asshole?
No. he's turned into a completely different, like, he's a weird dad character now. Mm. Like, anytime the younger people are having trouble, they always show up next to him, and he's like, hey, you know what you gotta try and do? You gotta see what happens. You know, like, he's just this weird Buddha in the Challenge House. It's
fantastic. Wait till the end of the season. I'm sure he's gonna beat somebody up. In a drunken rage.
Oh, it's sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my theory is, if he was really big and now he's gotten back, I bet he's off his meds.
Well, if he's divorced, I'm sure he's definitely more likely to drink a lot now.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm excited for you to be having the sort of experience and excitement that I had when I was 20. Or 22,
well, yeah,
watching CT.
I only discovered the Challenge since the beginning of the pandemic.
It's a little unbecoming for a 30-year-old, but
you'd think
whatever.
Too late now.
I say again, as somebody who's watching
22 seasons into Survivor in the past 3 weeks,
and still watching it, though I actively don't enjoy it.
Despise it.
Yeah. That might be a theme in my life. Alex Jones, I don't like it, and I...
We're not doing self-examination right.
Therapy's on Wednesdays.
Your performance evaluation's going to be weird.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode where we're dipping back into last week.
Indeed.
We at the end of last week, what we did is we put a reposted episode about Dennis Montgomery,
because
it came out that he was sort of behind some of this information that Mike Lindell was going over in his cyber symposium.
Right.
And I kind of realized that what we need to do now that the cyber symposium is over is that we need to go back and look at this as a snapshot. Now we have closure on
it. Now we've got a hole.
We know for sure that Trump did not get put back in office. It was an open question. At the end of last week, on Thursdays.
There were some people who really did think.
Record on Thursdays, so we didn't know what was going to happen on Friday the 13th. It was a very important day numerologically to the globalists,
totally.
And the occultists.
No, I would finally believe in all superstitions regarding Friday the 13th if suddenly Trump was reinstated as president. I would be like, I guess they're all true. I guess if we had a 13th floor in a hotel after Trump got reinstated, that's fucking insane.
If I were Trump and I got reinstated on Friday the 13th as president, I would take to the podium and my first words would be, "Bwah."
Yes, straight up Dr. Wily.
Yeah, or like, don't call it a comeback or something like that. I'd do something funny.
Oh, man. I don't know. If you get, Wyclef would say that if you get elected on Friday, you will almost certainly be assassinated on Saturday. So,
and then you'll be gone till November. Other Wyclef reference.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just because Trump dances go-go, that don't make him a ho, no.
All right. Do we do a show? Are we done yet?
Anyway, so what we're going to do today is we're going to be talking about August 11th and 12th.
Okay.
And then I figure middle of the week for Wednesday, we can finish off the Cyber Symposium.
Love it.
Because there's a good amount to get through and some really, really delightfully funny stupidity.
I'm excited.
And so we'll get down to business on that. But first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, my opening argument is this knowledge fight is to clean up aisle 45, but I'm tuckered out. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Lot of shout outs going on in there.
Yeah.
Next, Charmaine loves Daniel. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thank you very much, Charmaine.
It's all full circle now.
Yeah.
Next, Tyrus is a beacon of hope for humanity, and everybody knows it. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Tyrus.
And then we got a couple of technocrats here. First, founding member number 9 of the official Stacey Q fan club. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat. You like Stacey Q? Two of hearts. Two hearts that beat as one. You know that song?
No, I don't know that song.
It's a banger. You should go check it out.
All right, I will.
Then the other technocrat, Jerome Corsi's bloated fucking face. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare
InfoWar on you.
Thank y'all.
Thank you very much.
Check out that Stacey Q song. It's fun. That was a gym banger for me.
Hey,
it's on my gym playlists pretty regularly. Gets you amped.
I don't mind buzz marketing for other podcasts, but I'm here for shitting on Jerome Corsi's face. That's what I'm about.
Sure.
So,
it's as important as making sure everyone remembers Stacey Q.
Indeed.
And then also got some additions to Celine's family to bring up. Actually, this addition's from Roe in Scotland.
Okay.
Roe adopted a tree that has a placard on it that says, "This tree is dedicated to Celine. All hail the great Celine." So now there's a tree in Scotland with a Celine placard on it.
I just don't know if there's anything better for us to leave as a legacy.
Sure.
Some people get fucking benches or some shit. No way. We got a Celine on the tree.
Uh-huh.
That's the way we do.
And then also Marcella got in touch and had made a donation and wanted a shout out for the pet rescue. The Mendocino Shelter Pet Rescue.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so, absolutely. They're helping animals that are being, like maybe their owners have medical fees that they can't take care of.
Yeah.
And such. And, you know, there are pet rescues like this in many, many places around the country.
Totally.
And in other countries. And they do very important work to make sure animals aren't killed.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are near a pet rescue, please help. Please help.
So, Jordan, here we go. Let's get into this. Let's talk about August 11th. First, this is maybe the day that martial law is going to get...
Could have happened.
This is the day that Alex has built up as the day that Biden is going to announce martial law.
Right. Now, maybe it'll happen, but maybe it won't. And if it doesn't happen, it's because, not because the information
is wrong.
It's
because Alex talked about it and he scared the globalists and then they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to walk that line here on the 11th.
Here we go.
First, I want to play the puppet in chief in a press conference yesterday saying he may announce nationwide mandates for masks and, yes, lockdowns of non-essential businesses. Now, they've had the speech ready for weeks. They were talking about this day, August 11th, being when it would happen. When I brought that up last week, I said us bringing it up may make them move the date. Or they may change it on their own accord. But I stand by my sources and Jack Posobiec's sources that they were looking at today as the day to announce new nationwide mandates. And last night, Biden said he's looking at the law, which he always says before he does it when he violates the law.
So maybe it's going to happen. Maybe it's not.
Meh, probably not.
But here we are today.
Good.
Yep. Alex also has to know that the emergency alert test is going to happen while he's on air.
Yeah.
So this is a weird situation. He's putting himself in a barrel.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't good. You shouldn't do this to yourself. You know that eventually you're going to be on air when the thing doesn't happen that you've said, maybe it's going to happen.
Sure, but have you considered doing a little bit of soft shoe and saying exit stage left?
Maybe. Well, we will see what happens.
Okay.
But before that ends up, that deadline hits, Alex has some time to fill, and so he does it by complaining about masks.
The M95, the supposedly best mask you can get to stop viruses and other particula getting through into your nasal cavity or into your throat, into your lungs,
and
says on the back, this product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19 coronavirus or other viruses or contaminants. Let me read that again. This product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19 coronavirus or other viruses or contaminants. Let's just read it one more time. This product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19 coronaviruses or other viruses or other contaminants. I'm not trying to be obnoxious here.
I need him to read it again. I didn't get that.
You know, he read it so many times, it's like when you say a word too many times and it loses all meaning
shovel,
to you.
Shovel, shovel, shovel.
I mean, when he
shovel,
said any,
shovel,
he kept saying any, and I started thinking about belly buttons. I was like, you don't need to, you're not doing this well. Yeah,
yeah. I think that was a poor attempt to not be obnoxious, if that's truly his intention.
To SAT that is to doing his show what increasing your font to 20 is to writing a paper. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to waste as much time as I can saying as little as I can.
Yeah, that's also like the equivalent of putting something in all caps and thinking you're strengthening your argument. Yeah. Also, what he's reading there, that's just from a meme that went around last year, early in the anti-mask days. It's my feeling that the messaging on masks has been pretty clear if you're actually paying attention and not a knee-jerk reactionary asshole. Masks are an important part of the pandemic response, but doctors and health experts I've seen have been pretty consistent in getting across that the way that they help is not by making the wearer super safe from things getting in. They help by limiting the amount of droplets that escape from the wearer themselves. By limiting the amount of possible virus you could be spreading, you in effect protect everyone around you by reducing the odds of them coming in contact with the virus themselves. Alex appears to be arguing against a straw man here, namely that the reason to wear masks is to protect yourself. He can repeat that warning label from a box of masks 100 times if he wants. It just doesn't mean anything. He's arguing against the wrong point.
Yeah, it does seem like there have been a lot of resources spent trying to confuse people as to what the point is. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you explain to somebody rationally without the influence of everything that it's about protecting others, I think it will not be hard to convince them. The problem is that trillions of dollars have been spent confusing people into being...
It's about a combined effort that has a cumulative effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the text that Alex is reading is just from this meme. It's not the packaging of an N95 mask. It's just a box of standard cloth masks.
Sure.
So he's just embellishing all this shit and repeating it over and over again because then he's hoping it will drive into the minds of his listeners and be a compelling argument, all caps.
Yeah, yeah, you might as well be like, this is not scuba gear. You cannot breathe underwater with this.
It's interesting that you bring up breathing underwater because Alex has some bad advice that at least at least he does say is bad advice.
Okay.
You know, there's one way to make a mask actually work, but only for about 20 seconds. You got to soak it in water. And that's if you got to go into a burning house to get your kid or whatever, you get a wet rag put over your face, and it'll work for a little while through smoke. You better have goggles on. And don't try that at home, folks. You'll die probably. But there's one way to make cloth work. Soak it in water. And again, it doesn't work very long.
Okay, this is useful. This is useful conversation. I have just given you a pointless piece of information and said that it's super effective, but it'd also kill you.
Hey, this, just so you know, this is how you make this function right.
Mm-hmm.
You will die. Mm-hmm. So don't do it. And this is okay.
It'll work for a little while, but also you'll probably kill yourself.
You'll probably die. Hey, don't go back into a burning building.
Wow.
Not hard.
So Alex talks some more about this warning label that's on the back of these masks, right?
About belly buttons.
But it's censored.
Wait, the warning label is censored?
The warning label is, well, any media that wants to cover it, it's censored. Except for the media that Alex is citing in talking about how...
That's trouble.
And look at all these articles. WUSA
all
TV, Channel 9, they've
articles.
All done it. Verified, fact check, why a face mask box says it provides no protection to the wearer. You try to put this out on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google, any of them. Apple, they won't let you put these articles out. Local news, national news.
Yeah, but that's not true. This article itself, you can post anywhere.
Explain to me how there can be all these articles, which are assumably posted by and hosted by these outlets.
Yeah.
And yet also... all these articles, all these suggesting that there are a large number of them.
I think that Alex is trying to imply that they get blocked by posting on social media. And I think that maybe some of the articles that are on like really dicey blogs maybe end up with a like, hey, this isn't true warning.
Hey, come on now.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that is something that happens if you try to post them on social media.
Well, probably.
Maybe. But this article that Alex is talking about, the what is it, the USA 9, the WUSA 9 local news article, that you can post wherever you want. And part of the reason is because it is where Alex is seeing this meme, the actual image of it, but it describes and explains why this meme is sending inaccurate information.
It
takes the context into consideration. And so, hey, I don't have a compelling feeling about this being a censorship.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. This is not censorship. Mm-hmm. There are all these articles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now also the Surgeon General, like a year ago, said don't wear masks.
That's because he was censored.
Man.
Surgeon General warns the public stop buying face masks, says they don't work, which was true back in February of last year, but you can't say it now. See how that works?
So that's a headline that Alex is reading from February of last year when the Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, came out and asked the public to stop buying all the masks.
Wasn't it because people were hoarding a shit ton of masks?
Well, there was a couple issues. Yeah. One of the issues was that there was a fear that the public could make a run on masks, and it was possible then that medical professionals would be unable to get the protective gear they needed to do their job.
Right.
Another factor that's super important is to consider that at this point, in February 2020, we didn't know what we know now. This was prior to the understanding that the novel coronavirus could be transmitted by people prior to them developing symptoms. If you're operating under the assumption that only symptomatic people are contagious, then widespread masking isn't really all that important. People who have symptoms should stay home or wear a mask, and that should largely cut down on a lot of the transmission. However, if pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic cases of the coronavirus are able to cause new infections, they have a completely different scenario on your hands. Now, if you don't have symptoms, you may not be sick, but you might be pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic. So even if you feel completely normal, there's a chance that you could be getting people sick if you're going out in public without a mask.
Right.
This dynamic is what changed the government's official guidance on widespread masking. Prior to understanding that asymptomatic spread was possible, there really wasn't that much of a reason for people to wear masks unless they were sick. After that aspect of the virus was better understood, it became critical for people to wear masks, not to protect themselves, but to drastically reduce transmission to others. Alex either knows all this and is willingly misleading his audience about very important public health issues, or he's really unable to grasp basic concepts and probably shouldn't be trusted to interpret information.
Yeah.
This is tragic.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that far-right propaganda usually boils down to future could be anything. Past can be seen 2020. Mm. Like, good work, guys. You nailed it.
Yeah.
You really fucking nailed it.
And so much of this, like, if you get down to the actual details and the facts of the information that they're disseminating, it really does break down into two possible paths. And one is you're too dumb to understand what you're talking about, or you're willfully misrepresenting this and putting people at greater risk. And I don't know. Neither is acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can be both too dumb to understand the greater context, but understand just enough to distort it in order to make money. Oh, I think I just explained America.
So, you have a buddy.
Uh-huh.
His name is Rand.
My best friend.
And Alex is concerned that Rand Paul has been censored by all sorts of media and YouTube.
He wasn't concerned about Rand Paul's wife using information.
We're going to talk about that a little bit.
He didn't talk about that?
No, but we will. But yeah, Rand Paul apparently was giving a little bit of a chat about how, you know, this meme about masks not helping people.
Yeah.
Why don't you look at that meme?
Why don't you look at that meme? There's nothing to look at over here.
And so maybe he got censored on YouTube. And so now he's complaining about it.
Aw.
Here's his response video, again, also taken down by the Thought Police.
Recently, I shared a video on my YouTube page. It was an interview between myself and a journalist where we discussed a variety of topics, including the science behind wearing masks. Apparently,
because I dared
to contradict Dr. Fauci and the government, YouTube has removed my video. If you want to see the video, it's up on Rumble.com. Rumble.com does not censor the news.
Wow. Lots to unpack here. First, it recently came out, like you mentioned, that Rand Paul's wife bought stock in Gilead Pharmaceuticals in February 2020, which was only disclosed this past week, well past the 45-day deadline that he's supposed to report these kind of purchases in.
I would assume that she just bought stock in Rumble as well.
Interestingly, 45 days after his wife's stock purchase happened to be right in that sweet spot last March when Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue were getting very serious criticism from the press about how they may have used insider information gained in briefings to make stock market transactions.
Well, hey, at least they didn't face any consequences for it.
Sure, but it also sounds like exactly the sort of time that a man with integrity like Rand Paul, you know, he wouldn't want to step up and create any kind of appearances that he was doing similar shit.
I bet he doesn't want to debate whether or not people in power should be able to buy stocks or not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
This revelation of Paul's wife's stock purchase and its very delayed disclosure, it creates mountains of problems. The first is that there is the appearance of insider trading. There may be no insider trading going on, and it's plausible that Ms. Paul bought the stock without any information from Rand, but even if that's the case, it looks really bad. The second problem is that this means that Rand Paul had an undisclosed financial interest in government policy as it relates to COVID response. Whether or not he acted to further those interests, he stood to gain from more people getting sick and from there not being a vaccine that is widely available because they Gilead produces remdesivir.
Yep.
There may be no malfeasance here, but there's a giant cloud of suspicion, and I would like Rand Paul to debate you on that subject.
I would, too.
Also, it seems like Rand Paul might be promoting Rumble.
It could be.
That was a little bit glaring.
Rumble.com. They don't censor your information. That's right, everybody. Just go to Rumble.com. That's Rumble.com.
This wouldn't even make me raise an eyebrow, except that this week it was reported that Rumble was signing up people they deemed, quote, thought leaders to promote their platform as an alternative to YouTube.
Hey, that's good stuff.
The big names that they announced were Glenn Greenwald and Tulsi Gabbard.
Hey, come on! What's wrong with those two?
It's enough to make you wonder if Rand Paul is another, quote-unquote, thought leader.
Hey.
He certainly seems to have a difficult time making timely disclosures of conflicting interests, so I guess maybe we'll know in 16 months whether or not that was paid SponCon for Rumble.
Look, if you got into government to do anything other than grift and make money, I don't understand what you're doing in government. What else is it for, Dan?
So, Alex had an intention on the show today. You remember that song by Afro Man?
Yes.
I was gonna clean my room, but yes. Then I got high.
Yeah.
This is sort of like that, but without the getting high.
It's fun that that's the only song I remember from Afro Man. Weird.
I was about to go live today. And going over literally hundreds of articles.
Were ya?
I noticed a theme last night and this morning doing research. So I've been doing research since 5 a.m. this morning.
Man versus self.
Of major victory. So I intended to come in today and write a headline about major victory and the globalists are in trouble. And I got so busy with all the other news that came out and came up that I forgot about that big stack of news I've got right here, all the victories. And even more coming in as we speak.
But martial law is coming.
They just brought me more victories, big ones. And that reminded me
that martial law is coming.
That I was going to have a whole show about victory.
I was going to do a show about victory, but then I got scared of headlines.
I remember today is the day that martial law is supposed to be announced, and all we've got is a day about victories?
It's supposed to be a day about victories.
Okay.
One of the big victories is the martial law didn't happen.
That's a huge one. That's
huge
true.
Victory.
That's a huge one.
Monumental victory.
Maybe the only one that matters.
Yeah, I think that one of the primary things that he considers a victory in terms of the things he's going over is that a number of places like the military have affirmed that there are religious exemptions
from
vaccine requirements.
Mandates. Yeah.
And it's like that's not even something that wasn't the case a week ago.
Yeah.
It's just they said that we knew that.
Victories.
Great.
Small victories, Dan.
Sure.
Thank God for small miracles.
So in his discussion of forgetting about having to do a show about victories, he talks a little bit about how women are going to poison people or something.
Okay.
This is strange.
And see, that's what always happens when a tyranny goes long enough. And if men actually roll over historically, the women just start poisoning everybody. So look for that. And that's what I've said. If you're the domestic help of these globalists, take really good care of them and tuck them in real tight at night.
It really sounds like he's telling people to kill.
If you are Jeff Bezos' maid, why aren't you killing him?
Yes. Alex is very clearly saying
poison
these wealthy globalists if you have access to them.
I mean, look, a lot of billionaires are getting divorces these days because most of them were friends with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, who's better at poisoning the next wives?
It's always
the spouse, Stan.
I don't know what side of the law this is on, but it doesn't feel good.
Imaginary poisoning?
I don't think this feels good.
Well, for Alex, it's not.
So he's saying that, you know, like the women are going to come in and poison people. That's the stage wreck because men have not done the job
or
whatever.
Was that part of the fall of Rome?
Yes.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got poisoned?
Yep. Every single culture throughout all of history, this is what's happened. Right after the Black Pyramids or whatever.
Sure, the Zhou dynasty, that fell due to all the women poisoning all the Zhou men.
It starts with human sacrifice.
Right.
And the meat supply in a society becoming 80% human meat.
Of course, 10 days.
Right. The priest class worshipping giant black pyramids.
Right.
And then women poison folks. I don't know. It's all nonsense.
When you're not going to poison.
Anyway, the killing is going to start. And Alex has a little bit of a ramble here about how he's pretty good at that stuff.
I'm for the red revolution, but not the one of the communist. See, they always invert everything. We've all got red blood. The blood of Christ frees us and heals us. So I call for fighting fire with fire. I call for countering the red terror with the red blood of Jesus. And coming together with our red blood. And saying, you think you scare us with your red star, going to spill our blood? We're more than happy when the rubber meets the road to spill blood, but believe it's going to be a lot more of your blood getting spilt than ours. And we don't have anything to prove. Good people are killing machines, organized, focused, ready, committed. We don't want to kill to empower ourselves or to steal something or to feel like we're men. We only kill to protect the innocent. But when the killing starts, the killing's going to go for a long time.
He's having a bad day.
Yeah, every time he says we don't want to kill for and then blank, those are the reasons that they want to kill. Mm. And then he's like, to protect innocence. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know that's not true.
He showed
your
cards there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, come on, buddy. We didn't tell you what reasons we thought you wanted to kill. You were telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons that Alex wants to kill is because he believes that COVID vaccines are killing off everybody, and it's part of this globalist plan,
right,
and what have
right,
you.
Right. We're all dead.
Right. And in service of this, he has to lie a lot.
Yeah.
There were the same number of deaths and illnesses last year as the year before. This year, I don't just have it anecdotally. I've got the sources. There is horrible COVID all over the world right now, and it's not the COVID of last year that was the exaggerated, hyped-up virus. It's the spike protein sloughing off and shedding and spreading. But the majority, 95% around the world's the number of people ill, took the shot. And that's even mainline news now.
Alex does just have things anecdotally, by the way.
Well.
But even he knows that that's like, it doesn't prove anything, so I got to pretend I have stats that I couldn't possibly have.
Couldn't possibly.
So he also says that there was the same amount of illness and death last year as every other year or the year before it, and that's a complete lie.
No, that sounds right.
The Journal of the American Medical Association put out a paper in April that looked at excess deaths from March 2020 to January 2021 and found 522,368 excess deaths that took place during that period.
Jesus Christ.
According to the CDC, 2,854,838 resident deaths were reported in the United States in 2019. It takes a while for concrete numbers to come out, so that report wasn't formally released until December 2020, and as such, we don't have a formalized number to cite right now, but the CDC has released a provisional count for 2020. The provisional number of deaths in the U.S. that year, 2020, is 3,358,814. The stuff Alex is talking about is just bullshit. Like, there's nothing to back up what he's saying.
Jesus.
There is a lot more death that took place last year.
Yeah. It, and, well, I mean, it's good to have the numbers, but we all knew that anecdotally. Yeah.
Alex, yeah, he doesn't just have this stuff anecdotally.
No. Now neither do we, but, you know.
Yeah, it's ghoulish, like this kind of denial of death.
Yeah, that's massively fucked up.
Yeah. So another thing that's fucked up is that Alex didn't go to his new boss's symposium. He didn't go.
Whoa. He's not paid by Mike Lindell. Okay, let's get that right out in front of the gate. He doesn't take money from Mike Lindell unless people click on the links that he put on his website in order to get a referral fee. Okay?
Now, granted, I would say that in terms of the people that Alex has latched onto who are money folk, this is probably the most depressing. Because, like, Ted Anderson created his career, essentially, with his gold sale money. And then Dr. Group took things to a whole new level with the supplements.
Right.
And what have you.
Right.
This is, I don't even think this is going to last. His involvement with Mike Lindell. I don't think this is going to go on long.
just from product. Like, if you've fallen from gold to fake pills down to just pillows...
There's almost a narrative to that. Gold gets you excited. There's a gold rush. Yeah. You go out and you try and make your money in the mines. And then, you know, you need those pills to stay up and chip away at the ore.
And then you go to bed.
Take a pillow.
Yeah, it's exactly like
this. This is putting his career to bed.
This is exactly the career arc, too. Yeah, gold rocketed up to the top, did too many drugs, now he's asleep.
Yep. So he didn't go to the symposium, which I thought was weird, but he has a full explanation.
Okay.
All right, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Next segment, I'm going to get into some big victories against the globalists. A lot of you are asking, why aren't you at the cyber symposium? Well, I took the airplane I was supposed to get on this morning, breaking down, and then not being able to get another flight till this evening, and then only getting one day of the symposium. I took that as a thing to just stay here. I was on the fence. I wanted to go. It's so jam-packed. It's got a lot of great information. We got a feed of it up on Infowars.com. And so I just decided to stay here with my family and with the crew, which is my family.
Okay. It was an omen.
The plane broke down. Okay.
What are you going to do?
I mean, I don't know when the last time I heard of a plane completely breaking down.
Couldn't get another flight.
And you couldn't get another flight within another couple hours.
Hey, man, look, the flights from Austin to Sioux Falls were...
It's a real small airplane.
Yeah, real booked.
Yeah, okay.
I don't believe that Alex doesn't have the kind of money that he couldn't charter a plane something. Like he took a helicopter to go hang out with Steven Crowder.
It would have to be a tank plane. It would have to be a plane that has full armor plating all over it. It's gotta be in style, you know.
Mike Lindell promised me a jetpack. It didn't come through. Whatever.
That sounds like a Mike Lindell promise, to be honest.
Yeah. So Alex talks in this next clip about how, you know, there's a lot of good news, but a lot of times he just talks about bad news.
That's true.
And it is true, but there's a reason. And then Alex starts spiraling off into nonsense.
I see so much positive news every day, but I tend to only give you the bad news. Because the one thing I won't put up with my crew is them holding any bad news back from me. And they're a great crew. But I want to know bad news yesterday. I don't want to know it later. I want to see it up front. I want to deal with it. And so when I get up here, I remember 15 years ago, off record, and I agreed to meet him off record, I met with some globalist, second tier, well-known names right beneath the top people.
Okay. All right.
And they said, Alex, it's always the same speech. Don't you want to be a star instead of on a crusade? You're going to fail. The public's dumb. You know, you'll never be able to save them.
Okay.
Don't you get when you put out all this bad news, you just scare them and demoralize them. They're a bunch of cowards. They're not going to rally and fight like you will. You're our kind of people. And I'm like, really? Because you don't feel like my type of people. I don't feel empowered and close to God around you guys. And I've told these people this to their face.
Yeah, I tell them to their face, man.
You know, here's my theory.
Hey, my enemies talk to me exactly how I talk to myself in the mirror.
So weird. Yeah. So weird how that works. Furthermore.
I'm so great that even the devil respects me.
If there are so many fucking globalists
coming
up to him all the time saying, you're my people.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. Maybe what they're saying to him is that you're never going to be what it is you think you are. Mm-hmm. You're exactly like us.
You're a piece of shit.
You're a giant piece of shit. The devil doesn't respect you. He admires you.
I have a secondary theory. None of this happened.
That's a good theory.
Now, part of the reason that I believe that is Alex gets into how he's had 8 meetings with the globalists over the years.
That's a very specific number.
And one of them that he gives us some details on.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't sound so much like a meeting with the globalists as it does like maybe he was getting interviewed by somebody.
That sounds right.
And boo.
Here we go.
And the one thing they've told me over and over again, because I've had at least 6 meetings with the globalists, like a 7, you count over the phone, and I guess 8 if you count the Atlantic Monthly editor coming down here, but
I don't count a phoner.
That's what that was too, but but the reason this is important is they always say, Alex, you're just scaring them. You think you're empowering them to fight back. You're actually scaring them. They're not going to fight now. And I remember always saying, I'm betting on humanity. I think if people know how horrible this is, they're going to wake up and decide to fight you instead of being slaves and being destroyed.
It's pretty telling that Alex thinks that being interviewed by someone at the Atlantic counts as some kind of meeting with the globalists.
Yeah.
That's scary.
8 if you count meeting with the guy from Atlantic Monthly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing one of the other meetings that he's referring to is like that time he was on Piers Morgan's show.
Does 9 include hot tubs?
It must.
Yeah.
And hot springs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're all the way up to 10.
He's had like a million meetings with globalists if you count every time he's run into somebody on the hike and bike trail.
That's a 4th tier globalist. He doesn't count those.
I'm guessing the people who have interviewed Alex in the past have asked him why he spends so much of his time scaring his listeners. That seems like a really obvious question to ask, and if I were a journalist, that might be a good place to start. Alex experiences this as the globalists telling him that he's scaring the audience and that they're just going to submit to their fearful state. But Alex believes that he's bringing them bad news in order to wake them up to reality and spur them to action. It's a really cute thing for him to believe, but it's all based on nothing and it's bullshit. Alex makes the audience scared in a very specific way, a way where there's no productive outlet for your fear other than things that profit Alex personally. There's no real action items that the audience can check off a list past promoting Alex's media outlet and buying products to make sure that Alex's media outlet continues to exist.
And if you are a service employee, you should poison people. These are other things you can
do. Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Beyond that, there's literally nothing you can do that's going to make a difference. Take, for example, Alex's insistence that Operation Lockstep is a Rockefeller battle plan that was written a decade ago and is now being put into action, which is what the whole COVID pandemic has been about. If you're in Alex's audience, what can you do with this information? Obviously, you can give Alex money to keep talking about it, or you could spread links around to your friends so they see Alex's videos talking about it, but ultimately, what can you do that's productive?
Even Bill Cooper was like, let's buy Turner Broadcasting. Let's
buy Gannett. Yeah. You can't do anything because this isn't real. Do you try to band your neighbors together to have an anti-Operation Lockstep protest? Do you write your elected officials and demand they put a stop to Operation Lockstep? Do you call the news and demand that they look into the evils of Operation Lockstep? You can't do any of that shit and have it mean anything because the thing that Alex is making you afraid of isn't real. Putting together a protest is a waste of your energy, and any elected official or media entity worth their salt is going to look into your claims and immediately realize that there's no story there. The underlying document is misrepresented and weaponized to be something it's not, so anyone who's not also just trying to get in on the grift isn't going to give this the time of day.
Yeah.
Alex fills his audience with impotent fear and outrage. There's nothing they can do to proactively work to resolve the unsettled feelings that his irresponsible coverage of headlines creates in them. This is the business model, because Alex knows that as long as he pretends to be the tip of the spear, the audience knows that their primary job is just to keep him in this fake fight. Where this gets dicey is what you kind of brought up, and that a very small percentage of the audience will have a very different reaction and will ultimately realize that there's no productive outlet for their anger and fear except violence.
Yeah.
And Alex also caters to that. You know, he fans those flames politically,
right? Sure.
Yeah. You know, in a plausibly deniable way or whatever. I was speaking metaphorically.
Yeah.
But there is a small percentage that end up succumbing to a nihilistic, nothing is ever going to work.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that nothing is ever going to work is because you're fighting ghosts.
Well, I mean, and not just that, but it also creates a feedback loop for you where you believe that you will never be listened to. Imagine if you do send I'm going to send a letter to my elected official,
yeah,
which is what I'm supposed to do, and that letter is about all this bullshit.
I'm getting stonewalled.
And then they don't respond to me, so clearly there's no reason to go through that. The other thing that he's recommended is violence. You know, like you can't send a letter to your state senator that's like, we demand an end to the griffins screeching in the morning. And they're like, I don't, what are you fucking talking
Most
about?
Most people don't have time to patiently explain to you, like, yes, why the thing you're angry about isn't real.
Dear sir, griffins are mythological.
Yes.
Yeah, mythological.
Here there not be dragons.
Yes.
I know it says there's hippogriffs on the map.
Excuse me, sir. Even though you shouted Wingardium Leviosa, things are not going to float around you. I'm sorry.
Indeed, they are not. So now it's time for Alex's Story Corner. A new segment on our show where Alex tells a long-winded story that seems to have nothing to do with anything.
All right.
In this edition of Alex's Story Corner, he gives a woman the Heimlich.
Okay.
It's important to understand this, and I'm not a hero to tell the story. It was easy.
Somebody else did it.
I'm in a La Madeleine French restaurant. Not a fancy French restaurant. It's like this chain of restaurants. It's like almost fast food, but it's decent food. I think they've gone bankrupt or something. They're not in Austin anymore. I don't know why I'm telling that part of the story.
It's good question.
I'll tell you what I remember. And I'm in there with my ex-wife, and my son is like a year and a half old, Rex. And this woman, this fat woman, starts turning purple and choking. Well, I'd gone to the bathroom, and I come back out, and my ex-wife at the time goes, this woman's choking. She's at this big table, like 6-7 people. She probably weighs 300 pounds, probably 5 feet tall. No one's helping her. She's turning blue. She's starting to fall on the table. And I walk over, and I go, do the Heimlich maneuver. And they all look at me like I'm a space alien. And back then, I was in really good shape. I got a pick layup over my head, probably. And I'm looking at these people, and they're going, 911, 911, 911, like parrots. I mean, they probably said 20, 911, 911. And I'm just going to so I have to start pushing them out of the way. They start going, hey, are you authorized? Hey, what are you doing? You don't know her. Hey, what? So I get her, and I do a Heimlich twice, and a huge piece of bread comes out of her mouth. Huge glob. She was Down syndrome.
What the fuck just happened here?
They don't care about their daughter.
What the fuck just happened?
Just feed, half a freaking loaf of bread in her mouth. And I'm smart in that I know rat-like people are. I said, man, that lady was pretty fat. I had to pick her up to get that.
What is happening?
First time I was like, didn't have it. I'm like, boom. And I took a fire department training course when I was like 13 on the swim team. And they go, oh, thank you. You're a hero. Oh. And then they all started looking at her going, is she hurt? And I got my ex-wife and I said, let's get out of here. Because they would have sued me for saving her. That's the spirit of the left.
This is weird. That story is weird.
That is a weird story.
I can identify at least 3 or 4 different points where I think, like, the story did not go the way Alex is presenting it.
No. I mean, this is the type of story where it's like, somebody else did this, and you just have remembered it in your brain to where you're the hero. That's what's happened.
That's entirely possible. Yeah. Or, like, people might be alarmed by the way Alex interacts with people and not want him charging their loved one who might be choking.
Everybody, this fat person with Down syndrome is choking. Get out of the way. Sir, I don't know why you said any of those words.
Leave us alone.
None of that is happening. Please stop hitting our child. She's fine.
Yeah, maybe she wasn't choking. Maybe she was. Maybe this did happen. Maybe it didn't. But I don't know what any of it means. I guess that Alex has decided that they were going to sue him if he didn't leave.
I guess.
Which is based on nothing, because even from his telling of it, they said, you're a hero. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So he had to bail because they were going to sue him
Alex,
for saving
your
life.
You're a hero. Hey, we got to get out of here. Those people called me a hero. That means they're about to sue me.
That's the spirit of the left.
That's the left.
Just means nothing. These rambling ass stories mean nothing.
The entire restaurant gave us a standing ovation. You know they're about to kill us.
Yeah. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
No one likes me.
So Alex gets to covering some other headlines, and here's the first.
Here's some more interesting news. UN globalists arriving in UK for climate summit won't face COVID restrictions imposed on British citizens. All other foreign travelers and citizens will be put in quarantine and controlled, but not private corporate leaders and government leaders coming to set up the world government. Infowars.com. Isn't that just special?
So Alex is kind of fudging some details about this upcoming climate summit taking place in Glasgow. It's called the COP26 summit. There have been some discussion in the news about how the normal COVID precautions and rules are being eased a little bit for the people coming in for the conference. But that doesn't mean they're just ignoring safety measures altogether, the way Alex is making it sound. For one thing, delegates coming in from countries that are on the red list will still have to isolate in a quarantine hotel for 10 days upon arrival if they've not been vaccinated, and 5 days if they are fully vaccinated. According to the BBC, quote, there are also requirements to self-isolate for 10 days for those coming from amber countries who are not fully vaccinated via approved programs in the UK, US, or Europe. Even beyond that, the summit says, quote, they will have strict COVID testing protocols in place, including regular testing to ensure the health and well-being of all staff, attendees, and the public. And, quote, there will be further public health measures in place at the COP26, including social distancing, face coverings when delegates are not seated, and a comprehensive set of hygiene and ventilation measures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still tons of precaution being taken into account. It's just... How are you going to strike a balance between this very necessary climate summit that is clearly important?
Oh, why?
A few reasons.
Okay.
And also take into consideration COVID concerns. You can't just... You don't want to say, okay, nobody can do this at all.
Right.
Because they already postponed the summit from last year.
Yeah. No, if you want to stretch and say that it's unfair, you've got a point. But if you're mad about it, there's so much other shit to go. Like, what are we doing?
It does seem to, from like everything I can tell, they are going out of their way to still be as cautious as possible.
Yeah.
So Alex has another headline.
Yeah.
And this one's a little bit iffier.
Okay.
And other folks are fighting back. Parents are filing complaint against Atlanta Elementary School for segregating students by race. Yes, they've actually put white classrooms and black classrooms to then teach whites they're evil, to teach blacks they're communist.
So recently, Keela Posey, mother of a black student at Mary Lynn Elementary School in Atlanta, filed a complaint alleging civil rights violations on behalf of her daughter. According to the telling of the story, she was discussing which second grade teacher would be the best for her daughter with the school's principal, and when she brought up one teacher that seemed like a good fit, the principal told her, quote, that's not a black class.
What?
Yeah. It's alleged that of the 6 second grade teachers at the school, only 2 were options for black students. At this point, I can find these allegations, and I can also find some indications that other parents of students at the school feel like these allegations are unfounded. Multiple of them point to school yearbooks as evidence that there are not black or white classes at the school, but I haven't seen the pictures of these yearbooks.
Sure.
I don't know exactly.
Sure.
I feel like this is a bit of a difficult situation since I don't know all the details, and it's really hard to figure out what's actually going on. It only makes matters more confusing that the Atlanta Public School System released a statement that said, quote, APS does not condone assigning students to classrooms based solely on race. When we learned of allegations of this content occurring during virtual instruction at Mary Lynn Elementary School in August 2020, the district conducted a review and took immediate and appropriate action at that time to resolve the issue. That kind of reads as if there was legitimate segregation going on, but it's also not specific enough to be able to determine what the exact situation is.
Right.
I feel like as this civil rights complaint progresses, we will probably learn a bit more, but as of right now, I feel like this is as much as I'm comfortable with concluding.
Right.
But I can also tell you that no matter what the reality of the story ends up being, it's definitely not what Alex is reporting. He's claiming that this classroom segregation was being done to teach white kids that they're inherently evil and teach black kids to be communists.
That would be a very weird thing to do.
Yeah. Ultimately, his version of the story has the focus being that the white students are the ones being most victimized by this, when in reality, if the allegations are accurate, this is a case where educational opportunities are being withheld from black students solely based on their race.
It does seem like, historically at least, segregation has not been about disadvantaging white people in any way.
And it doesn't seem like this story is an indication, has any indications of that either. This is kind of an essential piece of Alex Jones's racism. He has an insatiable desire to co-opt the oppression that other groups experience and recontextualize it as secretly being about oppression against white people. And it's honestly really sick.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you're doing is taking the thing that you've done to other people based solely upon race, claiming that they're doing it to you in order to justify continuing to oppress those people.
Yep.
It's not just sick, it's fucking insane.
Yeah, that's more or less the game plan.
Yeah.
If you were to be a coach.
You're drawing up X's and O's. Yeah.
So Alex, you know, he tries to hit these headlines, doesn't go in depth in any of these stories, and he realizes, like, man, it was really fun talking about how I had meetings with the globalists. I should talk more about that.
Sure, that's more fun.
This is so stupid.
You know, I was thinking about something this morning. I thought, I ought to tell people a story, but I can't because I had to sign a non-disclosure to do it.
When? Show it to me.
And I wish in hindsight I wouldn't have signed the non-disclosure.
What are you fucking talking about?
Let me just tell you this way. I recently met with representatives of the globalists. And they told me, as if I didn't know this, we are criminals. Like, you know, you've seen the Godfather movie? We control things, and our job is to destroy you.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Alex, just so you know, I need you to know this.
Uh-huh.
We are criminals, and
up.
We run things.
Shut the fuck up. He hasn't signed the NDA.
Now, this is an NDA. You can't tell anybody about this, that we're criminals and we run everything. You signed the NDA.
Oh, God. These people, like Alex, like he just thinks that NDAs are like magic or something. A non-disclosure agreement cannot involve the non-disclosure of criminal activities.
Look,
you cannot be coerced to keep criminal actions or confessions secret because of an NDA.
We were trying to get Al Capone, but he convinced all of his witnesses to sign NDAs. Yeah. So there's nothing we can do.
I gotta say, this NDA is ironclad.
The eight great families of the mob always sign NDAs.
You know how easy it would be to have a conspiracy, a criminal conspiracy, if you could
if you just sign NDAs at any point in time? Yeah. The easiest.
Yeah. It's so childish. It's so stupid. I don't know. I would guess that maybe Alex is talking about a deposition or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So funny.
But one of the things that's really fun is, like, he then starts struggling to try and understand why these globalists would do the thing that they're not doing. Like,
right.
Why? Why would they do this? Why would they have a meeting just to tell me they're evil?
It is impossible to understand the behaviors of the creepy monsters in my head.
Yep.
Well, they're like, we're criminals. We're going to destroy you. I'm like, well, you didn't think I knew that? You met with me to tell me you're
no,
evil?
No, we didn't think you knew that.
I mean, it's not even. It's
at the end there, I was. It's just like it's Job from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
A $30,000 suit. It's,
yep.
Oof.
Yep, that's bad. That is
I can explain
bad.
To him exactly what's going on.
Okay,
here.
Okay, go for it.
The globalists wouldn't have a meeting with you just to say that they're evil because you made that up.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Oh.
Wow, shit.
So he's killing a lot of time on
this. Yeah, it does seem like his font has gone all the way up to size 45.
He is wasting so much time that he could be using to talk about victories.
That's right. I forgot that's what we were talking
about. But unfortunately, I think one of the problems is that his staff is interrupting him pretty regularly. They need to tell him about, like, breaking news.
Oh, of updates. Of course.
Every 5 minutes, they come in and give me a new article.
Those bastards.
Of another restaurant. Another hotel, another wedding venue where you can't go if you're not injected with this poison they call a vaccine. And if you don't accept this medical ID, and because they say we want to keep everyone safe, even though when you take the shot, it makes you create mutants and makes you shed. And actually, you're admittedly who's making everyone sick. They don't care. And guess what? I looked at the business owners and I love women.
What is that? A good
house,
start.
That's all there is. My son's 18. He's moved out. I'm sitting there with my wife and a bunch of women. That's who I hang out with, women. I love women.
Sounds like you're about to tell us otherwise.
But do you know who every person in Austin is shutting their business down unless you take a shot? It's women who want to be impregnated psychically by Bill Gates and by Fauci and by Jeffrey Epstein. It's what it is. It's all Epstein plan.
Epstein plan.
And they want to have the foreign stuff put in them. They want the dead baby DNA.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mean,
okay. What do you even do with this?
What are you saying? Hey, look. All right. Hey, listen. First they came for the vaccine mandates for the wedding venues, and I said nothing because I wasn't getting married.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes on.
Hey, man, I've done some research into all of these businesses that are coming into me every 5 minutes from my staff, which seems like, first of all, waste of their time.
Right.
Unnecessary updates for Alex. And all of these businesses are run by women because they want to get psychically impregnated by Fauci and Bill Gates.
Right. Has he ever noticed that many of his gripes about women center on the idea of if men at all allow them to get out of pocket, they will poison everybody and run the world with vaccine mandates and try and fuck Bill Gates all the time?
He's a mess.
Yeah.
We're getting to the point in the show where the emergency alert is scheduled to happen.
Ah, yes. We've all been very excited.
Because there's a pre-announced time that it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
will he still be surprised by it?
Alex is still trying to play games.
Well, in about 7 seconds, most telephones and cable TV radio systems will be taken over by FEMA and President Joe Biden in a martial law drill. That's 12:20. That's far away. Yep. So
he's
folks,
listening to the song.
Tell us what you see. Tell us what you see unfolding and going on. But maybe he's going to postpone it. They did announce all these big announcements for today. They had the White House ready for it. A lot of times politicians are 20, 30 minutes late. So we'll watch that as it all unfolds.
So there's going to be this emergency alert test thing, and then Biden will come out 20 minutes later or something and say, hey, psych, it's martial law.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you know how when you've planned the emergency alert down
to be really scary?
Down to the very second.
You mean the actual people, not Alex.
Yeah. Down to the very second, you know exactly when it's going to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Countdown clock and everything.
Right.
You've known about it for months. You know, no big deal. And yet still you're telling me that on the day you're going to announce martial law after this fucking months long planning, you're still going to be like 20 or 30 minutes late. Like what's going to hang you up from declaring martial law?
Biden's weed guy was late. He's got to blaze up before he goes out there and declare martial law.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever declared martial law
on weed? If it was set to happen at 4:20, I would be like, okay, that's a fun martial law. That's a funny martial law.
So Alex, like, I think that he's a little disappointed because the alert happens and it's not really anything. But
right.
He's got a sort of like, okay, we're in that space where it's happening around the country.
Sure.
I'm going to just vamp a little bit. So vamping, he talks about how like the Pentagon and all these evil guys.
Oh, they're
they
evil.
Planned the Matrix 25 years sure. ago. Right?
Sure.
Mic down for this.
Okay.
Because
okay.
This is phenomenal. Okay. This is just outrageous. Here we go.
Again, in mainline Pentagon documents 25 years ago about we've been tasked by DARPA and the Rockefeller Foundation, as well as the Carnegie Foundation, to end war. To end war, we must end the family and the human-mammal dynamic. We have a plan to put humans in tanks from birth with virtual reality once computer systems are up to that level, where people will live in peace and will be able to have a mainframe computer that guides them through life, and the power of their own heat will run the computers. That was a theoretical DARPA plan from 1977. They made the movie The Matrix out of it. Yep, they're doing the EAS right now. So I guess they've National Periodic Test EAS Emergency Alert System. There it is. It's taken over.
Would have followed the tone alert you heard at the start of this.
Keep going with it. Oh, that's right. The engineers are telling us. Hold on. We can't air the tones. If we air the tones, that can take over the scramblers of the radio station. But that's not the tones. That's the old system that would launch tones to take over the radio or TV station. Now they don't need the tones because they're hardwired and everything, but I won't explain it to the engineers. Anyways, the point is that you can show the image of it. I don't know who told you can't show that, but that's not the case. I'm not mad at anybody, but my God, what a broke-back country. We can't even show you the emergency alert. Okay, it doesn't exist. Great, it didn't happen. I mean, I'm walking off at this point. I mean, it's like I live in a twilight zone. It's like a year and a half ago during the lockdown. I told you it's all BS. We're an essential company. We can stay open. No one believed me. It took me weeks to convince anybody of it. Not mad. I'm not mad. Let's go to rebroadcast, though. What do we got here? Am I allowed to show a video off this of my show? Am I allowed to even be on air? Probably not. Nothing's allowed. I'm so free. Rand Paul can't talk. No one can talk. Air whatever you want.
Attempts to divert. While King Obama attempts to divert the public from.
Oh boy. That's not good.
How did that spiral into a whiny tantrum?
I don't know.
I can't play the beeps because of course I can't. Because
the engineer or whoever's the producer is concerned that playing those beeps over the radio stations yes. would override a signal or something.
Right.
I'm not sure if that is the technology that's still used, but I don't know what size radio stations Alex is on around the country.
Maybe
there are some people who use kind of antiquated radio systems.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It seems like a legitimate concern if you're a producer to have. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Alex freaks out, storms off. I love that, though. Like, play whatever you want.
Play whatever you want. I am a man, baby.
When I listen to something like that, the first thing that comes to mind is
professionalism.
Sure. And if I were the globalists, I would meet with this guy.
If I am the devil, watching that and thinking, this guy needs to be on my team.
Holy shit.
He's the tip of the spear.
This guy's a number one draft pick. Like, you gotta.
In an actual violent confrontation, clearly all we need to do is present a minor annoyance to him and he will walk away.
Yeah, this seems like he's a one big Achilles heel. Yeah. He's just...
I got a cut. I'm done fighting this war. I'm out of here. This really hurts. Fight whatever you want.
It's not actually even a cut. It's mild irritation.
I got a bruise.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I bumped into a door. I quit.
I think I have a little bit of a reaction.
So Alex comes back.
Uh-huh. Which, why?
If I worked for him, I would not let him come back.
No, go away. Yeah. Go away.
You left the show. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. It seems like there should be that kind
if
of level
I was
of
his
like,
dad,
hey.
Yeah. Who does work at InfoWars, apparently.
That's true.
I'd be like, son, you quit.
Yeah.
You're a quitter.
Yeah.
You're not going back on the air today.
No.
You don't get to have a tantrum and then come back and pretend nothing happened.
Would you accept this kind of behavior at a Little League game? Absolutely not.
No. If you're the coach...
Yeah.
No.
You're done.
This is disgraceful behavior.
Hey, hey, okay. I know you made an error on that play and then stormed off the field and we had to replace you with a new shortstop, but now that it's a couple outs later, of course you can go back into the game.
You yelled, "I'm not mad," while throwing your bat at the opposing team.
That umpire has to have knee replacement surgery now. Yeah.
So Alex comes back with a very exciting announcement.
I get frustrated because I've covered 20% of what I was ready to cover. And a lot of it's my fault not getting to it all.
A lot of it.
I'm co-hosting The War with Owen Schroyer today.
Oh, no.
3 p.m. Central after the next hour.
Oh, my
Great.
God.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't do my job.
Listen, I've wasted a lot of your time on my show, and now I'm going to waste more time on somebody else's show.
I spent a lot of time lying about NDAs and meetings with globalists. I did have a little baby freak out, and I left the show.
Listen, you have the best baby freakouts. Don't you forget that.
No,
we are running everything,
don't tell
and any, we
don't
need
tell
those
anybody,
baby
don't
freakouts.
Don't tell anybody we said that, though.
NDA.
Yeah. I like the idea that these two things are simultaneously true. Alex Jones is the most important truth teller in the world.
Yeah.
He has a singular ability to understand the globalists in a way that nobody else in human history has ever been able to.
For over two decades now.
That's the first thing.
Right.
The second thing is he thinks that it's just fine to let his engineer decide what to play on his show when he storms off. Play whatever you want.
Yeah.
Some intern that he has hired.
Yeah, just some random person.
Yeah, their instinct is going to be as good as mine.
I'm sure.
Oof.
That's
so
great.
Fuck Alex. I'm not going to listen to the War Room for him to come back and try again.
No, absolutely not.
So we go to the 12th here, and you know, we didn't have martial law breakout.
That's true.
And
that's
also
true.
The cyber symposium that Mike Lindell is putting on is mighty disappointing.
It's not going great.
And so here's where Alex is at.
But this is a soft kill weapon.
The vaccine.
That affects every person differently and is just absolutely so evil and so well thought out and so premeditated that when you see a big flash on the horizon of a hydrogen bomb going off, you know what that means. But with this, because it's a slow kill, because it's a soft kill, the people don't know what has hit them. And then I can read all the Pentagon reports to you, silent weapons for quiet wars.
That's not a Pentagon report. That is a hoax document that Alex thinks is real.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Yeah. In the year of our Lord 2021, Alex is such a dum-dum. He's willing to cite silent weapons for quiet wars. Amazing.
These guys, like, do they think that this one is going to be the last one, or do they think they're going to be able to? Do you know what I mean? Like, eventually, it's going to be a year from now,
mm-hmm.
and the people who have gotten the vaccine, there will be more of them, and they will all still not be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do then?
I think that what you do then is you pretend that all the massive death is being covered up, and you make a mountain out of a molehill anytime there's any kind of adverse event that happens. I think that's probably the strategy at that point.
Don't you? But I mean, this one's just so big, you know? It feels like you can't wriggle out of, hey, 80% of people are going to be dead in 6 months.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
I agree with you. In terms of, like, rational minds. And I think that...
Yeah, that's true.
I think that you and I can look at this and say, like, there's no way out of this. There's no doubling back.
Yeah.
But I would have said that 100 times over the course of Alex's career. And I have said on this show, even, like, wow, he's fucked.
Yeah.
How's he going to get out of this? It's a dead-end narrative.
No, you're right.
And granted, this was much bigger than anything I've seen him try to pull off in the past. But I don't... As long as there's money, I don't know what.
And how old? I'm 34 now. I have not gone 2 years of my life without some Christians telling me it's the end time. So, mm-hmm. of course, they're willing to just keep. Oh, not this time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wait until the next one. And this time it's the end times.
Yeah, I think that Alex is the arbiter of information and truth. And so in some ways, As long as he's able to feign confidence in whatever way he walks back stuff and pretends that he's not actually wrong.
Right.
I think that he'll be able to keep some amount of the audience.
Yeah,
now,
you're
granted,
right.
There will be probably some people who float away, but as long as there's money, he'll trick some people.
If I were them, I would be working on my walk back strategy now.
Yeah. I would have started a year ago.
Exactly. I would have been like, okay, well, when this doesn't work, how are we going to pull this off? It's going to take us a lot of nights to figure this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that I'd have a flow chart for multiple steps ahead.
As things start changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the 12th, there was a bit of stuff going around on social media about one of these nice Alex was right about everything kind of moments.
Oh, come on.
It was about a Judicial Watch and Center for Medical Progress release of some documents about the University of Pittsburgh procuring fetuses for research.
Sure. Okay. Fun.
It's not really a bombshell in any way. Great. But Alex, of course, because people are talking about how he was right about everything, he's got to cover it.
Here's Fox News. Here's Associated Press today. Criminal investigation by the Justice Department of whether major universities got delivery of live babies. Well, it's in the frickin' contract that they deliver third term, 7, 8, 9 month, and even past born children that are taken out of the vagina. These are poor women sometimes that show up at the hospital and they got the baby. I mean, they're killing babies that show up at the hospital.
So this is a bit inaccurate, but it gets worse.
You know what else was in the documents? They actually put in a bunch of the contracts that they wanted minority babies. They don't say why in California and Ohio and New York and Illinois. It says right here in the article, we want black and brown babies. Oh, but if I say the wrong thing, I'm a racist white man. But if the state and these companies are killing and targeting black babies for harvesting, that's all right.
So, like I said, this story is just about documents that were released by Judicial Watch and the Center for Medical Progress. Both of these entities are pretty usual suspects on our show and are complete shitheads who should never be trusted.
Yeah.
The one element of this story that stuck out is this second clip here. And folks, they've really glommed onto, and it's this specific detail that there are these grant documents that require that some of the fetuses, a percentage of them that they take in, they need to be demographically diverse.
Yeah.
Anyone who's not a shithead grifter would be able to tell you this isn't an attempt to target minorities, but it's in keeping in line with making sure that the studies that they carry out follow proper distribution patterns so as to be reflective of the general public.
Yeah.
Just like with Dennis Montgomery, Judicial Watch and Center for Medical Progress are names that you should hear attached to a story and you should just ignore it. There's never going to be anything worthwhile that comes out. And every single time that I've heard their names associated with stories, there is a simple explanation for how they're intentionally misrepresenting something to push a political aim.
Yeah.
Every time.
And it's not just...
Same with Project Veritas.
Of course.
All of these names.
And it's
ignorable.
It's the exact opposite problem that's... Like, the problem that's being addressed is far larger, which is that most medical testing over our history has been done on white men. So we know exhaustively what works for white dudes, but medications for women and for minorities have been understudied because they're not in the...
That is definitely a concern.
Yeah, it's a huge problem, and they're finally trying to do something about it. And, of course, it's turned into an evil fucking... Oh, God. There's nothing they can't fuck up.
Yep. Speaking of which, here's Alex messing around with photography.
So again, okay. I'm going to explain something to you. The major national gay pride organization just gave their highest award to an image of a toddler child with men in bondage uniforms with sex swings that they put themselves in and have sex with other men in. That's what the men are doing. That's their issue. This is with a 2-year-old child, and they're all lined up, basically standing around the child, and the message is, we're about to gangbang this 2-year-old. Now, I don't want to show
that's
you
a
the
weird
photo,
message.
But we're going to show it today. There's
it's
no
a weird message.
They're not naked, but that's what this is, bondage and BDSM and all this crap.
There was a right-wing media outrage cycle that was kicked off. Initially, this traces back to a tweet that was posted by Andy Ngo, who's another name that you can add to that list of people whose points you should probably just ignore.
That giant shithead.
Apparently, during Pride in the Netherlands, there was a contest seeking photos that captured the year's theme of celebrating diversity. 50 photos were selected, and this one was one that particularly stood out. According to the Post-Millennial, which is a source I generally would never cite, but no one else is covering this dumb story, the jury said of this picture, quote, "This photo in its composition, child in the foreground, men preparing for canal parade in the background, everyone busy with their own activities and fascinations, sublimely depicts what will hopefully remain self-evident, that we, unhampered by prejudices and almost unsuspectingly, all may and can exist side by side." I've seen this picture, and that seems like a pretty decent take on it. Certainly, that's closer to what I experienced seeing the photo than Alex's interpretation, which is just disgusting nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. There's just no way around if that's what you think is about to happen, that's because you're fucked up. Yeah.
From my...
you're a monster.
From my understanding of it, the picture is a child who's like holding a swing,
yeah,
like a playground swing,
right?
Not
right,
a
right.
sex swing,
yeah, of course not.
And then there's people in leather behind her,
right.
But they're not like all looking at her or anything. They're all minding their business or like getting their stuff latched.
Yeah, no,
and
it's
what
a,
have you?
It's a picture about how prejudice is learned.
Yeah, and the situation too was that the child's mother had let these people change to go to the parade at her home. And so it's them getting ready to go to the parade.
Sure.
Like, we're going to... Oh, it's just disgusting.
No, that's,
Alex's
that's
interpretation
disgusting.
Is disgusting.
No, that's because you're... If that's what you get, you're disgusting and you should deal with that. Mm-hmm. I am sick of having to deal with the fact that you can't deal with any time there's an adult and a child in the same room that you don't like.
Well,
you think
left.
They're about to fuck.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
I have a difficult time with these projections.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Alex... what's one word that Alex uses to describe doctors that he likes?
Innies.
No.
Oh. Doctors he likes?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with well-respected, top of his field, the...
Close.
Pinnacle.
Ooh,
top
close,
tier.
Close.
Of,
close. Prestigious.
Prestigious shit.
Yes.
God damn it.
That's his favorite word. So he talks about a prestigious doctor here.
And here he is. Another prestigious doctor, Dr. Richard M. Fleming, explains how the vaccines are biological weapons with Dale Bigtree.
This virus is a man-made gain-of-function virus paid for by U.S. taxpayers' dollars, including monies that came from the Department of Defense.
Dell Bigtree is an anti-vax lunatic, so if someone's being interviewed by him, it's pretty safe bet that they're not on the level. In this case, though, Alex is saying that this guy is really prestigious. I thought I'd check that out.
Sure.
As it turns out, Richard M. Fleming is a bit of a career scammer. In 2002, he billed Medicare, Medicaid, and Blue Cross Blue Shield for, quote, falsely represented medical tests.
Ah, but he did it prestigiously.
Yes. And in 2004, he, quote, submitted false data after being paid to perform a clinical study on the health benefits of a soy chip food product. This all led to him being sentenced to 5 years probation and 6 months house arrest, along with being forced to pay a restitution of $107,244.24.
Hey, man, you can get jail time for stealing fucking out of
probation.
Yeah, I know. You can get jail time for stealing from a fucking gas station. But
yeah.
If you do this shit, if you run a years long scam, 5 years probation. Thank
I'm sure that he would probably say that he never admitted to anything and
oh,
he's totally innocent.
No,
but
he's totally innocent.
He did plead guilty.
Yeah, well.
Fleming is no quitter, though, so he decided to keep trying to put out studies, which ultimately led to the FDA disbarring him in 2018. He was disbarred, quote, for 10 years from providing services in any capacity to a person that has an approved or pending drug product application.
Now, it takes a lot of prestige to get there.
Quite prestigious. This guy is a doctor who has no specialty in vaccines or epidemiology at all, and is somebody who's been charged with multiple fraud-related felonies. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say that that's not the resume of somebody who's one of the most prestigious doctors around.
Yeah.
That's somebody who's, I don't know. I'm not
one of
listen.
The most prestigious doctors around. Now, It took him 10 years of not being allowed to practice by law in order to gain the level of prestige that he needs.
He's such a prestigious maverick that the FDA is afraid to have him involved.
Afraid. They had to put a legal injunction against him, and he had to sign an NDA because they told him that they were criminals.
But also, if they didn't stop him from being involved with these studies and these like trials, no other doctors could get work.
No.
That's why the FDA had to step in and disbar him, because he would be doing everything.
He's too good.
He's too prestigious.
He's too good at doctoring.
So one of the conspiracies that Alex has been dancing around with is this, that when they said the hospitals were full last time, it was all bullshit. The hospitals were actually empty.
Right.
And now hospitals are full, and they're actually full.
Oh, they get to go both ways, huh? And nobody's going to stop them, and we're not going to have any consequences for this whatsoever.
Now, I will say, this is not the argument that Alex is making, but it is a little bit unnerving how it's not being treated as a much of an emergency this time. And part of that may be...
do you mean from the society at large?
From everybody.
Yes, yeah, okay.
I feel like people were a bit more severe last time.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if this is in part because of vaccination prevalence.
Sure.
I don't know if it's because of poor messaging.
Exhaustion, maybe.
Could be, partially. Yeah. Or it could be the exhaustion that comes from recognizing that these people aren't going to listen.
Nope.
Like, you can yell all you want about the hospitals being full and it being a very severe situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's right to do.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change Governor DeSantis's behavior.
Yep.
It's not going to change the people like Alex's behavior at all. What the thing that you would need in order to address the problem is an impossibility.
Right.
And I don't think that that justifies not treating it like the type of problem that it is.
Right.
But I also don't know what to do. Anyway, that's a real thing. Alex's fake thing is that they were pretending the hospitals were full last time.
Right.
So
now they are full because they're filled with vaccinated people.
Right.
That's
and
what
the
it
vaccinated
is.
People are actually the ones who are getting everyone sick. And
Right.
But
topsy-turvy world.
But, we don't really need to deal with this too much because Alex kind of gets distracted in the middle of talking about it.
And so I could call people I know that work at hospitals around the country. I could check statistics. I could send reporters out. And last year at this time, the hospitals were empty. They wouldn't do all the real care they needed, so there was a lot of death from cancers and heart attacks. But they were empty. They were paying the hospitals not to operate. And then, hey, guys, you guys are sending Mike Adams over my earpiece. I'd really appreciate it if you cut that off. That'd be really awesome. It's been happening for a while. I was going to ignore it. But just if you'll, I guess you're getting ready for the show later today. That'd be awesome if it actually got turned off. Thanks. So, try to get back to my daughter, please. Thanks. I'm not mad at the crew. I'm very emotional about all this. I'm going to very important points I need to make, and I'm just going to stop right there.
Play whatever you want.
It's very hard to sit up here on air and have literal thousands of documents, total admission, open and shut, like I've been saying the last few weeks. You pour a gallon of gasoline on somebody, you light them on fire, they're going to burn to death.
Alex gets back to causal relationships.
Now we know how.
I get a little worried about myself from time to time. And one of the things that prompts worry in me is that I think I can understand Alex a little better than I should.
Yeah.
Because I heard that clip, and when he's breathing heavy, and then he's like, I have total admission, total proof. I was like, I know what happened there. You got distracted by something and you forgot what you were saying.
Yeah.
You forgot you were talking about the hospitals being empty before, but they're full now, and you can prove everything.
Mike Adams in his ear.
He completely forgot. He has no connection to it, and he just is like, I don't even know where I was. And that's usually where he'll have a breakdown and storm off set.
Yeah.
But in this case, he doesn't. He tries to hold it together.
And he's going
to
power through.
And then in like a minute after this, he basically admits exactly what I suspected was the case.
Too nice to just fly over with helicopters and nerve gases. That would cause fires and explosions, and people would still survive and organize against it. No, they had no choice. But if it is a covert attack,
People want to rationalize. They don't want to believe it's happening. They don't want to believe it's taking place in their lifetime. It is. It's happened. I'm going to calm down and try to come back and say what I was going to say earlier. I'm not mad at the crew. There's all sorts of equipment there. They were checking a guess, and the audio came through, and I forgot what I was going to say, so I got mad.
I
tried to ignore
it
for a while. I just thought it would stop after a while. It didn't. I'm going to try to reset. I'm going to try to come back and hit all these clips and all this news, and then I've got a bunch of these documents, which I didn't cover last week. I said I would. I don't even want to read this on air. Do you want to hear about them keeping the little kids alive and sucking all their blood and harvesting them? Because, I mean, you talk about vampires. That's what this is. It's just done medically. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Yeah, so Alex doesn't want to read those studies because they don't say the things that he needs them to say in order for these narratives to stand up to scrutiny. So that's why he doesn't do that.
I forgot what I was going to say, so I got mad. And then that's mad is a medical problem.
I think that, you know, acceptance and self-awareness is the first step in terms of making progress.
Yeah.
And for Alex to actually say on air, I lost my train of thought, so I got mad.
It's a good first step.
It is.
It's a good first step.
It is. It's certainly better than him storming off and saying, you play whatever you want.
True. That is true.
I don't know. I worry about myself, though, because as soon as I've heard the first clip of it actually happening, I was like, ooh, Alex lost his train of thought. He's getting mad. And then he says, I lost my train of thought. I'm getting mad. I'm like,
uh-oh. Oh, boy. Oh, the abyss has looked back, Dan. Hey, Dan, it's me, the abyss here. How you doing?
It's very troubling. Thankfully, I have candy.
But, Kit Kat, you got to knock it
gotta
off.
Got to cut it out.
Got to cut it out.
I've got candy and seasons of Survivor that I'm not enjoying, so I'll be okay.
Yeah, take that, Abyss.
Yeah. So these doctors that Alex likes.
Uh-huh, prestigious.
So prestigious.
Super prestigious.
You know how prestigious they are?
Fraud?
Jordan in their in his prime. Michael Jordan, not Jordan Holmes.
Yeah. Jordan in his prime. You know, when he was about 17 playing high school baseball. Jordan in his prime.
Jordan in his prime, and he was hosting at Zanies.
Made it to the pinnacle of my profession, buddy.
Yeah. So this is silly.
It'd be like having Dale Earnhardt in his pride, in his prime.
And his pride.
In, you know, 1989 or something, or 1990, tell you this car's got a problem, its engine's going to blow. Don't put it out on the track. You're like, who are you? You're just Dale Earnhardt. It'd be like Michael Jordan in his prime. And then he tells the coach, that's not a good player. I think you should cut him off the team, or I don't want him out here with me. They're going to lose us the game.
So real quick, I want to address both of these examples.
Okay.
I don't know if Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the best mechanic in the world. So maybe he wouldn't actually be the person you'd want to talk to about the car itself.
Probably.
He's a driver.
Yeah.
He knows some things about driving them.
Generally
speaking. Doesn't necessarily know everything about the cars. And Michael Jordan is a notorious asshole.
He was a piece of shit who said exactly what Alex said he said.
Yeah, but he also wouldn't be the best judge of the best player. He would, if someone is too good, he might not want to be on the court.
He would try and kill him. He would try and murder them specifically.
Yes. He wants good players who are complementary to his singular goodness.
Right.
So I think he would actually be a very bad person to take staffing advice from.
Yeah, having watched The Last Dance, and also having watched Jordan's career as a general manager and owner, he's the worst person to choose players.
Yeah, so don't, like, both of these examples are bad.
Yeah. How did Dale Earnhardt, you know what, never mind.
You listen to Michael Jordan. I mean, it's the Michael Jordans, it's the Dale Earnhardts, it's the Tom Brady's. Of science.
Another notorious piece of shit.
Exactly what was going to happen. And I feel like I am in the twilight zone here. Because I can read these damn studies all day. I read them for 3 hours this morning. And I started crying. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't a crying of like sad. It was a crying because I want to start killing people. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to hurt anybody. But I'm saying they are attacking us.
That doesn't... I'm not confident.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we already know you want to kill people.
Yeah. I read these studies and I have tears of murder.
You know, maybe the thing that is, his metaphor might actually be very good in the opposite direction that he's thinking about, because all three of these people that he has referenced are people who are incredible, were incredible at what they do.
Yes.
At the thing that they are good at, they are better than anyone else ever has. But if you ask them to do something outside of that, you are asking the wrong person, no matter what you are doing.
Sure.
So if
and
you are
Steve
asking,
Pachenik.
If you are asking a doctor, say, who has been maybe the best there has ever been at committing fraud, you should talk to them about fraud.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and like a lot of Alex's guests are like that.
Yeah.
Singular. Yeah. And that's kind of why when some of them go away, there's a real hole in the show. Like Steve Pachenik should be around more.
Yeah.
Because he is the Michael Jordan of crazy big brags.
Absolutely.
Larry Nichols being dead is kind of unfortunate because of the hole that's left there. He was the Michael Jordan of Clinton conspiracies.
He really was. He just had him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you lose those people, and it's tough to staff.
Yeah. And according to Leo Zagami, he's also the Michael Jordan of basketball.
He's the Michael Jordan of Illuminati insidering. It's... Yeah, it just doesn't quite...
I won a 6 championships.
It's not... It doesn't fit when you try and slot these other people in who are just disappointing weirdos.
Yeah, no.
They're not even Detlef Schrempf.
No.
Sixth man.
Hey, they wish they could be Tony Kukoc.
Right. Detlef Schrempf, I know, wasn't on the Bulls.
No,
but he
wasn't.
Was the sixth man of the year repeatedly.
He was. So. Tony Kukoc was the sixth man of the
was
year.
Was he?
Yeah!
Didn't know that. I thought he was a starter.
He was a starter for a while, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. Good stuff.
Uh-huh. You want to talk about Vlade Divac?
Another bad administrator, great basketball player, then he became a general manager.
Is that
you
right?
Shouldn't ask people who aren't good at what they're asked. Their job is basketball, not knowing basketball.
Uh-huh.
Ugh, terrible.
So, look, here's the deal.
What?
The Cyber Symposium.
How did it go?
It's going well.
Well,
but look. It's not going well. Let me translate.
Living in the future, I do remember that 9-0 Supreme Court decision did not come,
no.
Unfortunately.
Let me translate Alex's position on this.
Sure.
This is a huge embarrassment, but Mike Lindell still has some money left. So it's going well, and I admire him. He's in the arena.
Sure. He's still fighting. Good for him.
This next clip. Oh, just it's so gratifying to me.
Okay.
You'll see why.
Okay, sell me on it.
The media is attacking the Cyber Symposium, calling it a failure. I think it's a really big success in courage, in honor, in will, in truth. I watched a lot of it, and they're bringing out real algorithms, real proof, showing real cases of fraud. But I warned Lindell privately and publicly. I said, this China packet capture you got is a classic setup, and it's run by an individual that even set up the Pentagon. And I said, you really ought to move away from that. And Lindell said, no, you'll see the proof. And I said, okay, all right, I'll see the proof. And so that's now overshadowing that it was just random code and wasn't even real code. And then suddenly the guy that gave him it has had a stroke and can't talk to Lindell.
Alex is trying to throw Dennis Montgomery under the bus, but refuses to say his name because he's been a source for so many things on InfoWars in the past.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I warned Mike Lindell not to listen to Dennis Montgomery's information like I have so many times in the past. I created an entire months-long cycle out of the fictional idea that Trump was being spied on based on Dennis Montgomery information. And I can't really throw that out, so I can't use his name, make it too obvious that I believed all that bullshit. But look, I tried to warn Lindell. He's a good guy. Things going well.
This is Dennis Montgomery is the Nigerian email scammer in Alex's story. He's like, hey, I told people, you know, and some people, it happened to him twice. It happened to him twice. They told him not to go see Dennis Montgomery, and again he goes.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Some people named me listen to Lunchtimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Oh, man.
That's really gratifying for me. Like, Even Alex has got a Montgomery loose now.
Yeah, Mike Lindell. You know, this has been a success in a lot of ways. It's been an success in all the other ways other than the ones by which we would measure success. You know? Sure. It's a participation trophy is what Alex would like to give.
Yeah.
Him. Yeah.
For honor.
For honor.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's Miss Congeniality.
Yes. So Alex gets to talking about the old vaccines, of course, and he's now learned the name of the first man who got the Pfizer shot.
Gotcha.
And remember, the first man, a relative of William Shakespeare. I guess if I was related to William Shakespeare, I'd give myself the first name William. My mom's told me we have another son. She wants to be named William. It's a great name. But
your mom?
There's William Shakespeare, related to William Shakespeare. First man to take it. He died really quick after. Bye-bye, William. Thanks for being a trooper. He wanted to help everybody.
If this dude is a descendant of William Shakespeare, it's got to be like a really bizarre, distant relative. It's kind of the kind of relation that would be meaningless. William Shakespeare had three children. Only one of them retained the surname Shakespeare, and that was his son, Hamnet. Hamnet had no children because he died at age 11.
Hmm.
Shakespeare's two daughters both married and took on their husband's surnames. His daughter Judith married Thomas Quinney, and they had three children, all of whom died before having kids of their own and all before the age of 21. His other daughter, Susanna, married John Hall and had one child named Elizabeth. Elizabeth had no children and is widely known as William Shakespeare's final descendant.
Hmm.
Alex just saw the name William Shakespeare and decided to write a fun story about how he's a descendant of the playwright to make it more compelling for the audience. This is something pretty important to recognize about Alex's process. It very regularly involves him just making stuff up as he's cold reading articles.
Yep.
Also, if he'd read any of the articles about this guy, Alex would know that he very strongly preferred being called Bill, most likely because of the discomfort of being named William Shakespeare.
Ah, as somebody with the last name Holmes, nobody has ever called me Sherlock, so
yeah.
I don't understand
or
that
H-H
at all. Yeah.
In Chicago.
You know, it's rare to be called H.H. Holmes. It really is. Most people don't like to reference famous serial killers when talking to
me. What about James Holmes? Wasn't he the Aurora shooter?
I think he was, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Real bummer.
Mm-hmm. So the world government exists, and it's going to take over. But there's one Achilles heel for it. And I think Alex means white people, but he doesn't want to say that.
Ah.
All right. The whole world government rollout forced inoculation program has a little bit of an Achilles heel. And that is in Western Europe, in the UK, in Australia, in New Zealand, in the United States, in Canada, we supposedly have elections.
Those countries.
Because we're a republic,
something.
Other areas are, quote, democracies.
Those countries.
And we're able
something.
To put our representatives in and have self rule. And that's why what Mike Lindell has been doing is so great.
Sure. So this is an interesting list of countries that Alex is saying are the Achilles heel of the globalists because they're republics.
It does seem like a very... Like so there's something that ties them together,
let's
I feel
leave,
like.
Let's leave the United States aside for a second and just check on the rest of
the
countries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's go.
So we got the UK first.
Right.
This is a bit of a misstep right out of the gate since the UK is considered a constitutional monarchy. Though it's generally considered a formality today, technically, in order for any bill to become an act of parliament, it's required to get royal assent, which is the monarch's approval.
And literally, stories have come out recently of the monarchs themselves changing legislation using their influence.
This, actually, like the royal assent not being granted to a bill hasn't happened since the 1700s. And if it did today, it would almost certainly prompt a crisis.
Yeah.
But in terms of the law and how the government is organized in the UK, the monarch has the power to override everything that any elected body does. The UK is not a republic by any stretch of the word.
How funny would it be if the queen just finally did that one time and
if
they're
she
like,
flipped her dictator button?
Everybody's like, I guess we have to kill her now. That was a strange way for that rule to end.
Hey, and guess what, Jordan? Elizabeth is the queen of Australia, too.
Yeah, there's that.
Their laws are enacted with royal assent as well, although it's done by the Australian Governor General. The Governor General is not an elected position. It's appointed by the monarch. This is one of the heads of state, and they serve at the pleasure of the British Crown. The same is true in New Zealand and Canada.
What stupid world do we live in? What stupid bullshit is this?
Yeah.
So fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. And like, I think that there's still, like, effective governance that's able to exist in these constitutional monarchies.
Sure.
But it seems like something we should just do away with.
Yeah, just no more. Why?
The
why?
Ceremonial.
Why?
The ceremonial heads of state who are kings and queens who technically on paper control everything if they want to, but they, you know, they're polite,
we don't do it. Yeah. We're here to make appearances, live extremely lavish lifestyles at the expense of all the poor people around us.
As we learned from Trump, norms are not set in stone, and if there is a norm that the monarch does give royal assent to everything, that's not set in stone.
That is
only as good as the monarch.
Hey, well, not just that, but we're seeing a resurgence of a lot of far-right monarchists at the moment. So if there is a monarch who decides to, say, remove that assent and has already put together a large group of supporters, many of whom are very violent these days, well...
So the countries that Alex is listing aren't republics. Interestingly, though, that list that he gave is really similar to the countries that Kirk Lyons, noted neo-Nazi lawyer, listed as the ones where the white majority was under attack.
There we go.
He used the acronym CAUSE, which he used as the new name for his organization, which was formerly known as the Patriots Defense Foundation.
Ah, it's better than white people only. We love white people, white people, white people.
I mean, it was a subtext.
It was a long one.
Alex doesn't care about these countries because they're republics. He cares because he believes that they're the places where white people are in danger. Because his intellectual roots are in extreme right-wing racist ideology, whether he's aware of it or not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So the thing that I love about this episode in particular is that Alex has to rationalize that the Cyber Symposium is not going well.
It's not going well.
But it is going well.
It's going great.
We should applaud Mike Lindell because he pays.
He's a hero.
He has money and I have a promo code.
Everything he's ever done is great.
But at the same time, it looks pretty bad.
This is not going well.
And it's only because Dennis Montgomery set him up. Dennis Montgomery is a globalist. But Alex refuses to say his name.
Uh-huh.
We knew how they did it. They sent out all the ballots. They sent out tens of millions of them.
From North
Korea. Democrats put the names of dead people and folks that moved out of state.
Again, from North Korea.
On a boat.
But Mike Lindell got targeted, and I'm not going to even go through a bunch of names, because these people sue you if you even mention them. And I'm not scared of being sued, but their names don't matter. You can read all the articles for yourself. But just like I told you, Q was controlled. A lot of real stuff was said. A lot of disinfo was said. How do you discredit somebody that's actually out there trying to expose real stuff? Well, you tell them, we've got all the files of all the election captured from China. And it's going to prove that it's a fraud.
So now, Dennis Montgomery giving this information to Mike Lindell is a plot by the globalists in order to discredit Mike Lindell and the push to overturn the election. Amazing.
Does he not realize what he just said?
Probably not. He rarely does.
Because what he just said was that you can give Mike Lindell fake information and he will put it out because he does not have the ability to tell the difference between fake information or real information.
Yeah, that is definitely a piece of this that is going unexamined.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mike Lindell will make multiple documentaries about this, risk a $1.6 billion lawsuit.
I mean, he really doesn't get that what he just said is that we don't know how to tell the difference between real information and fake information. Yeah. We have no way of verifying whether or not the shit people give us is true.
Yeah, and the fact that this information is coming from someone who is a career scam artist, that doesn't give them pause. They're like, hey, maybe he's right this time.
Maybe he's got... Look, I know past behavior is not a predictor of future events, okay?
Also, I love the premise that Alex is like, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to get sued.
I don't want to get sued. Oh, my God.
What an asshole. Anyway,
piece of shit.
He goes on to shit on Montgomery some more.
Of course.
All that file he said he had, and the individual that gave it to him that said that proof China had all the files and did it. Well, obviously, you can't have all the files at once. And I warned Lindell. I said, listen, you've got all this real stuff. This is you being set up.
Does he?
Well, it turns out the individual involved is married to an individual that, of course, works for the Democratic Party and the biggest Democratic Party law firm, and a law firm that has quarterbacked operations against me. So when I saw these names and stuff months ago, I was like, oh, my God. But Lindell wouldn't listen to me. And that's okay. He's a good guy. He just got in the arena at this level. He'll remember what I told him now. So, exclusive. Cyber expert says his team can't prove Mike Lindell's claims that China hacked the election. And who gave Mike Lindell all this information? Here's NPR headline. The man who conned the Pentagon. That wasn't even about politics then. But the guy that got the Pentagon to pay him a bunch of money to supposedly find secret Al-Qaeda messages on broadcast TV and stuff. Report. Programmer conned CIA Pentagon into buying bogus anti-terror code. That's Wired Magazine. This is the same guy. Infamous hoax artist behind Trump World's new voter fraud claim. Arizona sheriff spent $120,000 on probing involving judge.
Have you ever talked about Dennis Montgomery before?
We have. All of this information.
Yeah, that seems really absent from his analysis of this, is the conversation of all of the fraudulent stuff he's put out based on this guy who's an obvious scam artist.
You know, it's fun how many times people are like, oh, see, Alex was right. But we don't have that, like, you know, when a cop gets caught planning drugs, you know, and then they have to go back and revisit all those old convictions and toss them out because the cop is clearly a fucking cheater, you know? Like, Alex should have to go back and revisit all those Dennis Montgomery cases and be like, well, this one's from a con artist. This one's from a con artist. This one's from a con artist.
Right. I mean, even the basis of this one, Alex was on board with the hammer and scorecard stuff. He definitely was promoting. And that was the straight up Montgomery shit.
Yep. The problem is, it was too big, so people paid attention.
Yeah, I think it was easier for him to just sort of pretend he wasn't aware of how much of a hoax artist Dennis Montgomery was back then. And, you know, there was Trump was president. There was a good chance that you could get Joe Arpaio a pardon.
Right.
You know.
My God.
And the tides have changed.
Yeah.
And now Montgomery is a shithead and everybody knows it. And I won't say his name because I don't want to get sued.
Yep.
Or I don't want to trigger something in people's memories that, like, wait, I remember you talking about this guy as if he was the Super Snowden.
Did seem to recall somebody saying Super Snowden.
Yeah.
About someone.
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Hmm.
So Alex interviews this talk show host named Kate Daly? Daly?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine.
I got nothing.
Good for her.
She's... I would say that she's somebody who's talks in InfoWars content with a Fox News delivery.
Ah, I gotcha.
And is junior varsity.
Mm.
She is not the Michael Jordan of this. She is the Bill Wennington.
Oh, that's not great.
Luke Longley.
And Luke Longley was great.
Yeah, he was pretty good. That's a bad example.
Come on now. Why are you shitting all over my Bulls now?
I can't think of any other people who were on the Bulls at that point. Except for, like, B.J. Armstrong, but he was good.
B.J. Armstrong was
great. Scottie Pippen was good.
Horace Grant got his ass kicked by Michael Jordan, which proves our earlier theory.
Mm-hmm.
If you get punched in the face by Michael Jordan, you're probably pretty good.
Give me some other players from that bench.
Yeah. Give me some other players from the bench.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's not going to go well.
No?
It's been a while. It's been too long. Stacy.
Stacy Augman?
No. Oh. Stacy. Shit.
Stacy Augman was on the Hawks.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know. Never mind. I can't remember off the top of my head.
All right.
Who else we got?
These Bulls, you love them.
It's been 20 years.
All right, fine. So anyway, their interview is not very interesting. It's mostly just about basic misrepresentations about COVID and vaccinations that we've talked about a bunch.
Sure.
Although we do learn something, and that is that Rob Dew was in the hospital last week.
Oh, no.
He may have got COVID.
You dumb fucks.
Alex claims he tested negative.
And that's, sure.
That may be possible. But apparently he got some kind of pneumonia.
Okay.
And then he had to escape the hospital. Which is fun.
Okay.
Now, I would probably just ignore this and be like, whatever. I don't give a shit. But listen to Alex calls Rob Dew a friend. And there's a little bit of a pause that made me very sad.
And then my own good, one of my best friends, Rob Dew, thought he had COVID, went in, went to the hospital, and they weren't giving him IV. They weren't giving him vitamin C. They weren't giving him hydroxychloroquine. I know that's what you talk about. They gave him nothing. He said, well, hell, forget this, and went home, and now he's fine. But they were literally getting ready to intubate him if he hadn't literally escaped the hospital.
They were going to intubate him. They didn't just escape.
Oh, one of my good friends, Rob Dew, thought he had COVID. Thought he had COVID. One of my best friends, Rob Dew.
That's not like a giant pause, but it's meaningful. It feels pointed.
One could call it pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love the idea of Rob Dew just basically being like, what flew over the cuckoo's nest? Just getting out.
I see Rob Dew as Kronk from,
sure.
Yeah, dude, his own theme music as he escapes.
I could see that. I could see that. So he interviews this Kate Daly, and I don't care. And partially that's because we have another guest.
Ah.
He's a health ranger.
Oh, no.
He's very dramatic.
All right.
And he has a surprise for Alex.
Okay.
Also, we've been able to get Dr. Richard Fleming to join us at the bottom of this hour, if that's all right with you. He's available. He can
chime this hour.
Here.
Good. Great. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah. And this is one of the most brilliant people I've ever interviewed.
This is the fraud doctor
this
we talked about earlier.
One of the most brilliant people I have ever interviewed.
Yes. He's great. So yeah, what ends up happening is that Alex leaves halfway through the third hour.
Sure.
And lets Mike interview this other doctor.
That's a great idea.
And then Mike does the fourth hour and like, oh my God.
Just take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike, he's one who has ideas. I like the way I made that sentence. He is one who has ideas.
He is one who has ideas. Yes.
And here's his idea for the day.
Okay.
The Office of Personnel Management hack that happened.
Right.
China got all of the psychological profiles of all of everybody.
Everybody.
And now they're using it to kill the military.
Oh.
Would you believe that?
No.
Remember what was in those files? They had these psychological profiles of high-level military leaders, including high-level FBI personnel. In their interviews, when they're being interviewed for top-level clearance and so on, they're asked a lot of psychological questions like, do you have multiple sex partners? Have you ever been abused? Things like that. All of those psych records are now in the hands of the CCP. And I believe that they're using those records to blackmail high-level officials in the FBI and the Pentagon to go along with the People's Liberation Army war against the United States military to then weaken our military by having our own Pentagon mass murder our troops with spike protein bioweapons in the name of vaccines.
And let's be clear, this is globalism taking over America. We're not supposed to exist, quietly merging with the globalists under China and agreeing to spike our troops, to purge them and poison them as an armistice, as a sign of submission.
These guys love working together. They're just, they're good. They're Jordan and Pippin.
I said something crazy.
Yeah,
you're totally right. And here's something even crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the way you're nuts.
It does seem to have a little bit of a chocolate and peanut butter vibe to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And you know, like, you know, take the content away from it. There's something really delightful about that. It's cute.
It's just, but I mean, doesn't this seem too much? Doesn't this seem too much to turn your anti-vax bullshit from, you know, like, it's reasonable to trick people into thinking that something, some kind of birth defect or something can happen because of a vaccine. Mm-hmm. You're injecting something in you. You don't know how your body works.
And
then a kid expels.
It's pretty easy to present, like, I have a concern about this. My concern is legitimate.
Right.
There's some science that I feel is unclear or whatever. It seems like more unshaky ground than this.
Right. But you're talking about 70% of the population has had at least one shot.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're going to take anti-vax bullshit out of the realm of that and turn it into all of the people in our military are being murdered by the Chinese army.
Right. And they used psychological profiles of everybody that they hacked.
Yeah.
They know how many people are fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're able to use that in order to get them to vaccinate the troops so they die. And here's the point.
Yeah.
Here's the point.
Yeah.
Where does that lead to, Jordan?
Hey, I have a question. Here's a quick question. Quick question.
There's no questions.
Has anybody in the Chinese military been vaccinated? And if so, are they being murdered as well?
Not important.
Okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Where does this lead?
I suppose with China invading us.
In fact, there's even more to this. A lot of details to share here, but there are people, I'm not sure about this, but for those who believe that Trump might one day be reinstated by a Supreme Court decision, if that were to happen theoretically, Trump would inherit a weakened military with probably hundreds of thousands of dead and injured troops so that the United States would be more vulnerable on a national security level, which would mean the U.S. couldn't defend itself against foreign invasion or acts of war that are kinetic in nature.
You're totally right. This is the takeout of the U.S. We come back, you'll have the floor.
Amazing. You nailed it.
You
invasion.
Do you...
Yeah.
The United States is the most uninvadable country in the world.
It would be tough.
By a huge margin. Do you know what? We don't need a military whatsoever.
Mm.
None. Because we have so many fucking nukes. The idea of somebody being like, hey, let's go take Utah is insane beyond reason.
And the idea of a staging ground being possible would be really difficult.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going to land?
If you're a boat. Maybe in the Northeast,
right?
Especially if you're coming from North Korea.
Yeah, you're gonna fly. You're gonna you're gonna land in Mexico and then travel upwards. What kind of insane person thinks that America can be invaded?
Yeah, if you believe that that's possible, then you have to believe that either Canada or Mexico would be on board with the invasion.
Totally,
or that it would be somehow possible to do a maritime landing.
On the United States coastline. On the United States coastline without us knowing about it. Under cover of darkness.
Yeah, it seems a little bit far-fetched, but it's possible if troops get vaccinated.
It's possible.
And then the Supreme Court puts Trump back in.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If we've already been invaded and it's called the cops.
These people are really fun. Mike is fun. I guess.
I mean, in
as much as like I abhor all of these people's beliefs, at least Mike is like trying to walk that line of like, look, I know that it would sound really stupid for me to say that I believe that Trump is going to be reinstated by the Supreme Court at some point.
Right.
But the Chinese military stole all these files in order to trick the brass into injecting the troops with vaccines in order to weaken them so when Trump is reinstated by the Supreme Court, he won't have the military that he needs in order to repel a Chinese land invasion.
That makes perfect sense. Every part of that makes perfect sense.
What a fucking dick.
Unreal. People are still actually worried about the country being invaded. That's a real thing that people are worried about is troops on American soil.
Well, there's other things to worry about, too, like societal collapse.
Well, that seems far more likely.
Well, not this version of it.
Oh.
And there is a critical tipping point beyond which, if you have a certain percentage of casualties, then society, the complex society that we now live in, ceases to function because you've lost the redundancy and the know-how of the people who can run the power grid or who can run the telecom infrastructure or who can run the manufacturing machines or the transportation systems. There is a critical point, and I don't know exactly where that is, but if we start to lose 25-30% of those who are vaccinated, there may be a tipping point beyond which this entire system suffers a cascading systemic collapse from which we are not able to recover. We're going to go back in that scenario to, 18th century technology.
Which, by the way, that's the treaty of 1992, Agenda 21.
Ooh. Yeah, I would say if one in four people in the country dies, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
There will be a massive reorganization that will be required if 25% of the population of this country dies.
It's always fascinating to me.
Good point.
It's always fascinating to me how these guys are, how capitalists are always like, if 25% of the people with know-how, the engineers who know how to run the power grid, if those people are taken away, it's never like, if 25% of the owners of these businesses die, it'll all fall apart.
Well, here's another thing, too.
Nope.
Mike is talking about how society is going to collapse entirely.
Yeah.
And we'll be back to the 1800s in terms of technology if 25% of the population dies off, right?
No, we have YouTube tutorials.
Meanwhile...
Uh-huh.
An essential piece of his and Alex's conspiracy is that the globalists are trying to kill off 80% of the population, 90% of the population. So I guess the globalists want to live in a world with 1800s technology or something.
I guess.
They love horses
guess.
And buggies.
None of this makes any fucking sense.
No.
You people are nuts.
Yeah. So Mike interviews this Dr. Fleming guy.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, I don't care what he says.
No.
I don't give a shit.
If you've had your license revoked for
not license, he was disbarred from being involved in studies.
if you were disbarred from anything for even like 6 months,
10 years,
I would be like, 10 years. No, good. And this was 10 years,
yeah, because he committed multiple fraud related felonies.
Yeah.
So I don't really care. He's just saying the same kind of standard InfoWars COVID conspiracies. It's just like, oh.
We've got a new face to repeat after us.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a doctor who's saying it, a prestigious doctor. Don't look into him. Don't worry about his resume.
The prestige is actually how prestigious he is.
So Alex, like I said, he leaves halfway through the third hour, and then Mike is hosting. And I listened to the rest of the third hour, and I'm not listening to another hour of Mike Adams.
No.
So I turned it off.
Yeah.
The only thing that even came close to being interesting was this of Fleming here.
There's very clear evidence that SARS-CoV-1 from 2002 was actually their first bioweapon, and this is an updated version. A bioweapon isn't something that you want to kill people. A good weapon doesn't kill the enemy. It slowly but surely demoralizes them and harms them. In this case, damages their society and their economy and causes slow, malicious diseases.
That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I guess the best weapon in the world then was George W. Bush, because he destroyed societies and caused all kinds of mass diseases. Mm. And
well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think if you look at particularly prominent biological agents,
yeah,
you're looking at things like anthrax.
Yeah, doesn't kill anybody.
Hold on.
No, doesn't kill. It demoralizes. Don't you remember the biggest threat from anthrax was how demoralized we'd all be?
It bummed you out.
I'd be like, oh, I don't even want to fight anymore.
And, you know, a lot of biological weapons are actually targeted at crops.
Yeah.
A lot of them are things that are like funguses that end up killing crops.
Yeah.
They don't demoralize crops.
Well, starving to death will demoralize you.
Well, that's true. But they aren't aimed at killing people. They're aimed at killing plants.
Yeah.
They're still aimed at killing things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds more like a propaganda strategy.
Also, I would like this guy to explain, which he doesn't, how it's clear based on the evidence that SARS was their first attempt at a biological weapon.
Yeah, it's clear based on the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the evidence? We got it from Dennis Montgomery.
Oh, shit.
You know it's good.
That guy. Love him, but also, ooh. Pretend I never listened to him.
Never heard of him.
So we come to the end of this, and there's some enjoyable stuff here. Alex trying to dance around the fact that this symposium sucks.
Yeah, that is fun. That is fun.
His utterly embarrassing blow up with the emergency alert. Just what a shithead.
Just beautiful.
The
tip of the spear.
We'll be back on the next episode, and we'll finish up with the Cyber Symposium disappointment. Maybe I'll come up with a pun No workshopping.
Okay.
We'll come up with something.
All righty.
Don't give it away for free.
All right.
But yeah, we'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight. And I go to bed, Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's right. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I am the Ronnie Cycli of doctors.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.